What's up, Fear fans? Infected are back as the major threat in this episode of Fear the Walking Dead, Brother's Keeper. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, Live and Let Die, Guns N' Roses. We felt like we had to open this because we thought it was very appropriate and very fitting for this very awesome episode. Natalie, what did you think? First thoughts?
Oh my god, it was insane!
I know. Guys, this is Fear the Walking Dead, brought to you by The Walking Dead Weekly at AfterBuzz TV, Season 3, Episode 12, Brother's Keeper. I am your host, Timothy Michael. You can reach me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike, and I'm joined by my lovely Fear the Walking Dead co-host.
Oh, thanks. I'm Natalie Dyer, and you can find me at Natalie Dyer on all social media platforms. That's NataleeDyer.
Yes, this little instrumental from Guns N' Roses is just giving me life right now. I love it. I'm loving it. Thank you, Stephen, to our engineer, for fading that out, because it's very hard to talk over it, but it's amazing. I love that song. Let's talk about your initial thoughts of the episode. What'd you think?
The infected are back.
That's what I'm so happy that the episodes have taken, or this episode at least, have taken a turn back to the infected, because I felt like we were going through all of these other major problems and the infected have kind of taken a back seat. So
yeah, we took a little bit of a break from the infected. Yeah. And now they're back in full force.
Yes.
And also someone else is back.
I was about to say, you know what? We'll talk about the infected later, but right now Troy is back.
Yes, he is.
Which we kind of knew he would be.
I definitely knew he would
right?
be.
Right? A little interesting though, because he finds his way to McCarthy's outpost. He's trying to clearly survive. Did you think that he would try to build a life there, or did you think that he would be going back to Brokejaw at some point?
Oh, no, I was 100% sure that he was going to come back, and I was also, like, 50% sure he was going to bring infected.
Did you really think that?
I honestly did.
See, Natalie's better than me, you guys, because I didn't think that at all. I thought, yes, he would probably go back to Brokejaw,
right.
But I didn't think that he would bring all of that with him.
I mean, I didn't think that much. That was definitely a lot. I did think he was going to bring a good amount, and then as soon as he fired the gun in the air and there was the sound of the infected, mm-hmm. I was like, oh no, he's going to bring all of them.
You know, initially, I'm going to confess to you guys, I didn't hear initially the infected snarling in the background. Mm. I thought that he was shooting the gun because he found McCarthy's outpost, he realizes that he could survive on his own, so he doesn't need the last bullet to kill himself. That was my initial thought.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't think that.
Yeah, well, because you have better ears than I do, clearly.
Okay, so first I thought he was shooting the one bullet into the air because he'd found the grenade launcher.
Right.
Thing, which was a whole other better weapon.
Yes.
In a sense. So I was like, he's like, I don't need this bullet. Like, screw you guys who gave right. me the one bullet.
Right. Which is another reason why I was like, oh, he figured out he can survive on his own. He's got shelter now. He's got a weapon. He's mm-hmm. got kind of food and that tin can thing. It was kind of gross.
That was tuna.
It looked like cat food.
It was tuna.
Well, it looked like cat food to me.
Oh, gosh.
So then we're back at the ranch. And the cattle is being put down. Did you mm-hmm. think that was going to happen so fast after Madison and Taka left?
No, I know cattle use a lot of water, but they can also
survive.
Quite a while.
Right.
And I guess the problem with TV shows is we have no idea what the actual, like,
time span is. Yes.
So, to us, it's only been a day or two since Madison left, which I think technically it really has, because Alicia right. said her mother hadn't checked in last night or the night before.
Right.
So really, it's only been, like, 4 days that they've built, like, dug this well, in theory.
Right.
So no, I would not think, let's kill the cows now.
So you feel like...
Especially because they know Madison and Taka are going out for water.
And do you feel like Alicia at this point thinks that her mother is probably not going to be coming back anytime soon?
Oh, right. Yeah, no, she's... Yeah. Alicia's pretty much written her off, in a mm-hmm. sense, I think. I think she's gotten very used to people disappearing, and if they show up, great. If they don't, well, that's kind of life in this world.
Did we think it was interesting that Nick was the one putting down the cows?
Yeah, a little bit.
Really?
Because like, why would you think Nick was good? Nick is such a lover in so many ways, senses and ways, that, like, with the exception of, like, some changes this season, I didn't think it would be him.
I just feel like they're doing a lot of comparison to him and Troy, so why not him be the one? You know what I mean?
True, but, I mean, It could have been Crazy Dog as well.
That's like, true. I
so
mean,
there's a lot of people there who could have done it. I thought it was strange that yeah. Nick was. Well, I get the comparison, but I also right.
I mean, I hated them putting down the cows, and so did Jake, mm-hmm. Which is something that he obviously didn't agree with. But I feel like the Brokejaw in general is struggling with finding a balance in leadership at this point. Yes. And they keep hinting that Jake isn't a strong leader. Do we agree with that?
Oh yeah, no, he's a terrible leader.
Really? I don't necessarily agree with that. I think
he's not willing to make the hard decisions. He was being a little baby about the fact that they had to put down the cows, and oh, we used to have 400 head of cows here, and this is just pathetic, and this is not a survivable place anymore, even though we have a bunker full of supplies. He's not a sustainable leader.
Sustainable, yes. I do feel like there could be worse leaders out there, which may make me say that he's a kind of a good leader because he is able to see both sides of an argument, which I think that's a good quality for a leader to have.
Sure. Sure.
I do think, however, Alicia would be a stronger mm-hmm. leader than Jake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, she definitely is. I thought it was interesting. I think everybody kind of writes her off as not the leader, is not the person who mm-hmm. will become the leader. Right. And yet, Ophelia, I think, kind of sees it. But even when Ophelia was talking to Crazy Dog and she was saying...
Or Lee.
Right. I couldn't remember his name.
Yeah. Lee.
They kept Crazy referring to him Crazy Dog.
So I know.
I was reminded him, or like in my mind. She was talking to him and he was saying, yeah, Nick's going to... He was hinting at that Nick should be the leader because he doesn't want to lead.
See, I'm glad you brought that up because that was going to be my next question. Do we think that Nick would be a good leader?
Better than Jake, yes.
Better than Jake, yes, but not better than Alicia, I don't feel like.
No, but I feel like Alicia is one of those leaders that isn't in the spotlight. So Nick's definitely forced himself into the spotlight unintentionally.
Right.
And he's there now. But mm-hmm. Alicia does a lot better in leading... through subtle manipulations and sort of just like example, I
yes.
would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas Nick, they feel like would be a better leader because he has found his way into the middle of both the nation and Brokejaw Ranchers.
I think that Alicia's probably more in the middle than Nick is.
After that, well,
yeah, exactly. She's the one kind of forging peace and moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think people just write her off because she's young and.
Do you think because she's a woman?
I think that could also definitely, I mean, I was going to say that as well, but yeah. Probably the young thing is also a
I
very
feel like
strong
that has
factor.
A, yeah, a stronger
because
factor,
people
yeah.
don't know that she has grown up having to sort of be the strong one.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just don't think of her in that way.
Right.
They just see what they see now.
Agreed.
So.
Taking a step back, do we like Alicia and Jake together?
I did until their whole little fight thing in the morning.
You did like the fight?
No, I liked them together. I was like, okay, it's sweet. They're like, I knew it wasn't going to last. Did you think it was going to last?
Their relationship?
Yeah.
I thought that it would have lasted a little longer
than it did,
yes. I liked them together. I thought that they balanced each other out, whereas Alicia sure. is a stronger leader than Jake, but Jake... can see both sides of an argument, I think, better than Alicia because he has a little bit more patience than Alicia does.
Perhaps, but I think Jake has his head in the clouds more than like anyone.
Which is funny to me because I feel like if Troy and Nick have such similarities, then wouldn't Jake and Alicia have similarities because they both grew up having to either protect or make up for their brothers?
I think Jake resents Troy mm-hmm. a lot more. And maybe he did think, I need to protect him. I don't think Alicia ever felt, I need to protect Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Jake's the older brother, I yes. believe. So he has that whole, I'm the older brother, so I need to protect him. Whereas Nick is the younger sister and just had to kind of grow into that position. And not... I need to protect him because she was like, you're the dumbass doing this to yourself.
Right.
So I see that they have similarities. I also just don't, like, Jake hasn't had a taste of reality.
Mm.
He hasn't been out in the world.
Right.
And so, and that's part of why I don't think he's the best
leader.
Mm. He doesn't have the full picture to see both sides.
I agree. No, I completely agree with you. Do you think this whole... plan of running away together with Alicia was a little bit foreshadowing of what was to come in the episode?
You mean
Jake dying?
Yeah. I don't know how that would be foreshadowing it per se. I think it was more of just like the entire thing, the fight they had where it was like, was your mother just supposed to, you know, get at Otto and your brother at Troy, and were you supposed to seduce me? I think that was more of a signifier that he wasn't going to survive and their little fight than the whole run away with me.
I want to talk about that fight really quick, because I actually loved that moment in their relationship, because it showed a bit of contention, which we haven't gotten from their relationship before. And he did have a pretty good point. I mean, from the outside looking in, it did look like Nick was bonding with Troy, she was bonding with Jake, and then Madison was bonding with Otto to take control, which, to be fair, only maybe a quarter of that was true, because Madison was bonding with Otto in order to take control.
Right, and I think Nick was technically bonding with Troy slightly to take control.
See, I think Madison was bonding with Troy. I think Madison was doing double work.
Yeah, she was, but I think Nick was also falling in line behind that.
True.
I think he also found, like, a piece of himself in Troy.
Right.
Which we'll talk about later, but, yeah, I think that he was sort of behind the whole, we need to get close to the family to, like, survive here.
Right.
Now, as for Alicia, I do not think that was her intention at first at all. I think it was just sort of I need a release. I need something to distract me to, like, you're a pretty boy. You're nice to me.
Yeah.
I need some form of normalcy.
That's fair.
And then it moved into more of like, oh, this is a relationship sort of thing. And then it moved into, well, now I can utilize this relationship to not only save Jake, but her family.
Right.
And I think he just got mixed up in that thoughts of, oh, no, you seduced me. Then you fell for me, maybe.
Right.
And then this happened.
I agree, but I do genuinely think that over time, Alicia did start to really like him.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. I think that Jake just thought she was coming in order to seduce him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he thinks that everything was malicious from the outstart, whereas hers was just a coping mechanism. I would call it a coping mechanism.
Right.
And so maybe he did sort of take advantage of her, and she sort of took advantage of him that first night. That's sort of, it was a two-way street.
Yes.
In that situation.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Nick for a little bit, so Troy comes back as Nick is sleeping in the cabin. Mm-hmm. Did we think that that was an hallucination? Because I certainly did at first.
I know you thought it was a hallucination.
You know I did.
But I didn't see it as that at all.
I just thought that it was, because it's just a little weird until I saw the same cuts and bruises on his face as were in the beginning of the episode. And then I was like, well, how, if this was a hallucination from Nick, how would he know the exact injuries that...
Right. What? I was more surprised it was a hallucination in, I think it was last week's episode in the hot box.
Right.
Or maybe it was the week before. Than I would have been if it was Troy.
I think that's what threw me off, though, because when they went back, if we go back in earlier in the episode, once again, Alicia and Nick have this conversation where they're comparing Nick and Troy, and Alicia says you guys share the same self-destruction. Mm-hmm. And then Nick says, maybe I'm as sick as he is.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went right back. Then they went right into that scene where Troy makes an appearance again at the cabin. So that's why I thought it initially was a hallucination.
I see. Yeah. I definitely understand that. It's just not how I was thinking.
Right.
I guess.
What did we think of his threat?
That something's
a coming. A reckoning is coming from the desert. I thought it was a little over-dramatized at the beginning. This is my initial thought. I was like, oh, he's being dramatic. Like, what could he possibly do by himself? I mean, knowing Troy, I should not have underestimated him. But I honestly had no idea what he could have been bringing.
I mean, I think at that point I already knew that he would be releasing.
Right. The Kraken.
Or something. I knew he had some form of plan that was not only destructive toward, I honestly thought he was sort of coming after Nick a little bit.
Right.
But I knew that whatever he was doing was going to affect the entire camp. I was also like fairly certain that it would be a horde because of him shooting the gun earlier.
And hearing them.
Yes.
Yes.
So I had a strong feeling that that was going to happen. In addition, they have been too safe at this ranch for too long. For particularly infected not to happen.
Right. Because the infected, like we said in the beginning of the episode, have kind of taken a back seat. They haven't really made a dramatic appearance as they have in this episode. Did you understand Troy's logic of Nick saved him, so he is coming back to return the favor? Did you get that comparison? Because I certainly did not. I was like, Troy, I mean, Nick made it pretty clear that he was just doing what he needed to do in order to save everybody, not just Troy. And it just so happened that he did save Troy.
I think this shows how much Troy has found companionship in Nick. I don't want to say companionship because that's what I'm thinking of.
No, that makes sense.
Solace, maybe. Just like an understanding where Nick is very similar to Troy in certain ways. I'm not saying in the, like, I'm going to murder people, but I think that Nick is the closest to having any sort of understanding as to what's going through Troy's head, and I think Troy recognizes that.
Yes.
Which is why he might be pissed that Nick killed his dad, but he's also...
But he understands it.
He understands it.
Right.
More than Jake would, probably. Mm-hmm. And he does see it as like, well, you did save... I think Troy is a very black and white sort of thing where it's like, well, you saved me, so I'll save you now. But next time, no. Sort of thing.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying.
Which I think that's why Troy gets along with Madison so well, is because Madison is a very black and white person as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you agree with Nick and Jake going after Troy together?
Yeah, I mean,
you don't think they maybe should have had more people go with them, or...
No, they just should have done what they needed to do, not dicked around for so long.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that I really wanted Jake or Nick to kill Troy. Because if they did it quickly, they could have averted the horde. But they dilly-dallied in the situation.
But I feel like even after he shot off the last grenade with the grenade launcher... And then they had this little scuffle, and then they took the launcher away from him. Mm-hmm. They didn't do anything else to distract the horde from going to the...
So they were already on their way, though. They could have fired another. They could have at the very least, filtered off some of them.
Yes.
A good portion of the horde. Mm-hmm. They could have been like, hey, look, here's another loud noise off to the side going down this other road. Mm-hmm. Would you maybe like to go that way?
Right. I think the writers could have done a little bit more of clarifying, because they could have easily been like, it could have been just a one line of, we don't have any more grenades. Mm-hmm.
To be fair, though, I really wanted them to just shoot him the minute they saw him with a grenade launcher, after they saw the first sound.
From that high up?
I do not give a flying...
You know what?
Fly. I would have, if I had seen... That scene, he had a grenade launcher, and he's the one who's leading him toward him. My first instinct would be, shoot him now, get the grenade launcher, and turn him the other way. Because that one that he just fired off wasn't enough to keep him going down to the left.
Right.
So they could have averted it to the right.
And it was only until he shot the last one.
And he was like, I'm going to kill you. And he's like, you're not going to kill me. And he fires off the last one. That's what I'm saying.
What did you think of Nick wanting to talk to Troy alone? What did you think that Nick was going to say to him to change his mind? If anything.
It was already too late. He couldn't change his mind.
Right.
So,
do you think that Troy is just, like, essentially a sociopath and a psychopath? Or do you think that the lack of sleep and the exhaustion had a play in what he was doing?
I think that this lack of sleep and the exhaustion made him delusional.
Right.
And I do think that that had a play, it had a certain aspect to it, but also he came up with this plan to lead this horde here when he had rest.
Well, he said that he hadn't slept in 2 days.
He said he led him for 2 days and two nights.
Right, which means he wasn't sleeping.
But he'd already come up with the plan to lead him there.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes. No, because he literally went from... being, you know, dropped off at the whatever place for Madison, going to the McCarthy's outpost, and then from there he saw the infected, shot off the gun, and then from there just went, I think he went straight to,
right, but he,
oh, he did sleep though.
He had a fire, he had his rattlesnake. That's true. You know, he,
I'm just trying to give him the benefit of doubt, you guys. I mean, delusional, I think you have a point with, because I feel like Troy never was a very religious or a spiritual person. At least that's not what the writers gave to his character. So when he was talking about a reckoning and biblical and a beast is coming.
But his father was.
That's true. But Troy never was. So I think that him being delusional.
I don't think it ever says that he is not necessarily. And to a degree, maybe he does feel like this is a reckoning now. If you saw that many infected, would you not think it was sort of a reckoning?
But he also brought up evolution and Darwinism.
He is a strong, he believes in that. He sees this as a, so he's at this point melding his father's beliefs, teachings and beliefs
into his own
with with science, because he is seeing it as, holy moly, I'm sorry, I'm speaking for the character, but I'm saying he's seeing it as, holy crud, there's that's a lot of infected, and like, this is the next step of this. Fear the Walking Dead has worked with this is the next step of evolution a lot. The second season we see
with
I think her name was Maria.
Sylvie?
No. Oh, maybe.
Oh, you're talking about the housekeeper. Thomas is like housekeeper. Yeah. Yes.
And she was, this was the next step in life.
Well, she had more of a religious point.
That's what I'm saying.
Of it. Right.
It doesn't matter. They're seeing it as the next step in life, whether it's evolution or whether it's the next step in life because God has told us that this is where we need to go.
Right.
It's, they're seeing it the same. So it doesn't matter if it's science or if it's religion.
Right. No, I understood that. It just coming from Troy being such a, I don't want to say a one-dimensional thought processed character, because he's not. He's a very well-developed character, but in his terms of thinking about the infected, it never came off as religious or scientific. It was just, hey, these are people that I can kill. It was very one note
for Troy.
Troy.
Yeah, because when we're first introduced to him, he's killing people to see how long it takes for the infection to hit.
Right, but I feel like he was just doing that to kill them. I don't think he really cared about how long it took.
If he didn't care, he wouldn't have taken such integral notes.
That's true. Good point.
So I think he did care. It was something that maybe he's not a scientist, and maybe he wasn't doing it in a scientific like format necessarily, but I think it fascinated him. And he does see it as the next step of evolution, so if that's how you see it, you're going to learn how that happens and why that happens. That's why it made sense to me.
If you were in this position with, you know, zombie apocalypse, what would you think? Would you think more scientific? Would you think more religious? Would you think, how would you feel about this entire situation?
Oh, gosh.
Here's my thoughts while you get your thoughts together. Because I would think that it was a I don't want to say a plague, because that has religious undertones, but more of like a, like,
why
a,
does a plague have religious undertones?
Because, you know, the 10 plagues with Moses and the Egyptians and all that stuff.
I mean, or you could look at it the scientific way in the Black Plague.
So that's true, yes. I mean, I just feel like it's a very fine line between scientific and religious. Sure. And I feel like I would lean more to the scientific side and say it was a virus or something. Mm-hmm. And that's where my brain would go.
But I'm going to bring it over to The Walking Dead for a second. Mm-hmm. They learn that no matter how you die, you turn.
Right.
You don't have to be bit.
Yes.
So it does sort of seem like the next step of evolution.
Right.
So if you know that, because very clearly Troy did, he's been killing people and they've been turning.
Right.
You would probably more logically be like, oh, this is sort of a step of evolution.
That's a good point.
Like, if you're thinking that way. I don't know that I would have many thoughts on what was happening besides, outside of survival, to be honest.
Yes.
I would probably go into a strictly survival mode.
Like, you don't care how they're here, I just need to survive it.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
Because, very clearly, there's not going to be some sort of, like, you know, medication that can make us all stop becoming, like, when we die, becoming these things.
Right.
It's going to be, we now need to evolve to survive and live in this world where when you die, you come back.
Right.
Whether that means people need to evolve, and whenever someone dies, you just put them down. Or you, and after having killed everybody else, or every other infected or walker or whatever you want to call them.
Right.
I would just, it would turn to survival. That's all. Yeah. I really wouldn't know.
Did you expect that whole scuffle to lead where it did with Jake, Nick, and Troy?
With Nick hitting? No, I was so mad. Like,
Nick, you guys, she was so mad. She was like, now I want Nick to die.
That's just so, like, funny. You deserve to, because you're just, no, what is happening? Because he, like, you could look at it this way. He is literally, he got Jake killed.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. He's definitely responsible. He definitely has a hand.
Like, he can say all he wants that that Troy did it,
mm-hmm.
but he's the one who did it. He's the one who knocked him down into the pit where there was a infected.
And if, from the beginning of the episode, he was expressing remorse or guilt about killing Otto, or taking a father from a son, then I expect in future episodes he's going to have guilt about his part in Jake's death.
God, I hope so.
I hope so, too, because, I felt like that could have been executed a little bit better. Sure. And we could have avoided a lot of that. If, like you said, they had just shot him when they had the chance.
Right.
Which, yeah, that kind of sucks. So we go back to the ranch, and they hear these grenade launcher explosions going off. And they start making a barricade because of the horde. What were your initial thoughts?
Well, first I was like, that's silly. But then I was like, they're circling the wagons, which cracked you up.
It did. Because, go ahead and explain to people.
If you guys didn't know, pioneers who were, you know, crossing America to get over here to the West Coast would circle their wagons at night in order to fend off attacks from Native Americans. Which I thought was very kind of ironic.
The irony in that state, like, just the irony of, like, circling the wagons, and now the Native Americans are using to circle the wagons. Like,
essentially, it was building a wall around them so that they could be safe.
Yes.
Safer. Yeah. It didn't fend off many fights or, like, actual deaths, but it would prevent them to a degree.
Yes.
So
your initial thoughts were circling the wagon. My initial thoughts, and we are the Walking Dead Weekly now, so we are going to be doing quite a few more comparisons, but my initial thoughts went to the Walking Dead, and when they had to fend off Alexandria from the horde that was going toward Alexandria, and they set up, well, they already had walls in place, but they set up these cars and these trucks in front of the vans, I'm sure you obviously know. That's where my initial thought went to. So I was like, oh, the writers are, you know, kind of not stealing ideas, but borrowing ideas from The Walking Dead.
I mean, listen, it wasn't a bad idea. The where they went wrong was having people standing behind the, like, RVs.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's because, in fact, as Troy said, they need sight, or, like, they need sounds, things to look at, and smells.
Right.
If you deprive them of all that, they just kind of stop.
Right.
Which, to a degree, I guess, would kind of screw them, because they would, if my idea was that they should all hide in their bunker, you would still need one person to lead them off. Right. Here's kind of why you need Troy, though. Annoyingly, you need Troy. Because he knows these things. He's done the research, and he knows these things. So teaming up Nick and Troy is, like, a great idea, in theory.
Right.
Because they have all this experience and this knowledge of the infected.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, you need to get the information from them.
Right.
And they're not, even Nick is not exactly willing to be like, this is how you do it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
They're both the most survivable people in this stupid apocalypse. And yet, they're both, like, the least helpful in a lot of senses.
I feel like the whole barricade idea was a bad idea. Just because I saw firsthand, you know, as a viewer of the show, how big this horde was. So initially I was like, you expect these RVs or trailers or whatever you want to call them by themselves, not even other cars up against them, to hold off this huge horde. Like, I knew that wasn't going to work.
The idea was that they would just walk by, which is not too terrible of an idea, in all honesty. It's not a bad idea that they'll just walk by.
I don't know. I just took physics in high school, and I know that something with such force coming at an object is going to either obliterate that object or move it out of its way. Sure. And I knew that if they just moved one of those trailers, that was it.
Here's what I was thinking, though. I think what they were trying to do is funnel them.
No, I understand. I completely understand what they were trying to do. Right. But that many things coming at one point. I don't think
they knew that many were
coming. I know. That's why I was saying firsthand I saw. So that's why I'm like, that's why I thought it was
big. Okay. It's a horde. It's a little horde. Okay, cool. Right. We'll just like do this. And yeah, I think they were probably expecting them to fail and to have them be pushed back at least to a degree.
Right.
They did not think it'd be that many that would potentially overturn the RV.
Right. Just taking a step back really quick. When Jake got bit, another just a Walking Dead reference is when they cut off Jake's arm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if only they had, like, you know, a doctor or somebody that would be able to help him, or if somebody was with him that had more medical knowledge, maybe Jake would have survived. They didn't even put a tourniquet on it. I'm just saying.
Do you remember what I said?
What did you say?
They cut it off right here. He was bit right here. It had enough time to travel up anyway.
See, I didn't
He would have turned. See, so they had to have cut it off up here, but they didn't.
See, I wasn't even on that. Oh, when Herschel got his leg amputated once he got bit at the prison in The Walking Dead. But I wasn't contemplating whether or not the point of amputation, because I was like, even if they do it here, I'm sure, or right above the elbow, for those of you who are just listening, not watching, I am demonstrating, so you should go watch. I felt like that was a far enough point for him to be okay.
Yeah.
But then they didn't even do a tourniquet, and I just wish that they had, you know, a doctor or somebody on hand that could, you know, help them. Mm. Or Jake, at least.
I 100% agree. But they don't. And also, I feel like they should have had survival instincts to tourniquet it. Or, I mean, Troy at least.
Right.
Like, Troy had all that training.
That's true.
He should have been able to save his brother, and he didn't. So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I agree. Do you have anything to say or to add?
Nope. I think we should thank our fans at home.
Okay.
For watching.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
We'll come back to this in a second. Let's first thank these guys.
Okay.
Because I have a couple of last thoughts, and we have predictions to do. But let us get through this.
Okay. So I do want to go back to the ranch really quick, because once the barricade falls, Alicia thinks to go to the pantry, which I believe is something that they should have done in the beginning, because if they had done that in the beginning, like you said, the walkers need stimuli, so wouldn't they have just walked through the camp?
Or they would have stopped.
Stopped where, though? Right outside the camp?
They would have stopped in the camp. So they needed That's something.
That's not good either.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. They would need someone to, like, lure them out.
Okay.
Of the camp. They wouldn't have been able to survive in that.
The bunker.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, I see what you're saying. What I thought was cool was seeing Alicia, Lee, and Ophelia, Lee or Crazy Dog, fighting through them. Did you get nervous that one of them was going to get bit again?
Yes, I was, I mean, sort of. I have faith that my girls are going to survive. I have faith, so I'm going to let them, but yeah.
Yep.
I don't.
So they get to the pantry. That's where they're probably going to stay until the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Troy, were you surprised that Troy and Nick just stayed up on the hill?
What were they going to do?
That's what my thought process like, was. No, like, what would they possibly have done? Yeah.
I wasn't. There's nothing they could do in that moment. So.
Well, clearly from the preview, they're going to think of something.
Right.
Let's go into predictions and then kind of shut off some thoughts. So let's go into predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
So based off of the preview, what mm-hmm. do you think is going to happen?
What do you think is going to happen?
I feel
I'm
like
back to you for a second.
Okay, I feel like Nick and Troy are going to have to learn to put their differences aside and work together. I'm hoping that they do have some more of the grenades from the grenade launcher.
They do. They had like 5 or 6 left.
Right. I hope that they use those or utilize those to bring the infected back out of the camp. Because there's no way that the two of them could just fight through by themselves. Not to mention, I just need to point out that they used all of their bullets and ammo for, you know, fighting off the infected. And I feel like once Madison and Strand and Daniel come, mm-hmm. they needed the ammo and the bullets to make the deal for the water. And I feel like now they're not going to have enough ammo.
Well, do you think they're going to stay at this ranch?
That's another. I mean, that's another prediction that we. I mean, I feel like they fought so hard to keep it. Mm-hmm. Why not? But then at the same time, I just look back at The Walking Dead. Once the prison fell, once something falls, there's really no way to get it back.
Right.
So I maybe the dam is going to be
the new
location. Yeah.
I think possibly. I also don't believe that they used all of their ammo. Mm-hmm. There's no way. We did not see enough like gunfire. For them to have used all of their ammo.
Right.
I think it was just whatever ammo they had on them, they went through.
Okay. So you still think that the plan could, the deal could still be made?
Yes. It might not be as strong of a deal because a good portion of it has been used.
Okay.
But I don't, like, it's not going to be as desirable of a deal.
Right. I feel like another prediction of mine is that I feel like Alicia is going to take Jake's death harder than anybody else's because she was growing fond of him. They did have this kind of fight where he was questioning the relationship, and I feel like she's gonna feel guilty, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be definitely a tough hit for Alicia once she's out of the situation. I think mm-hmm. she is very much the whole, like, what do we do to survive now?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think she'll take the hit. I don't think it'll be very visible to everybody else.
No. She's always been a very internal person when it comes to that kind of thing.
Right. Mm. I'm glad Alicia and Ophelia are back together.
Yeah.
I was like, dream team's back! Yes! But I guess what I think what's going to happen is, like I said, Troy and Nick are the most knowledgeable of the infected. So mm-hmm. I think they are going to find a way to get them out. I worry about what Alicia encounters in the bunker. Because she's in the bunker when she encounters an infected. So I don't know how they did.
Maybe somebody got bit.
Or something like that.
Right.
So I think for her right now, the bigger threat is in the bunker. And mm-hmm. she doesn't know it.
I think that
we do. But
right. I think that not only do they have to be worried about an infected, as the preview showed, in the bunker. But they also have to worry about, you know, the stress levels were at a minimal before, and they were already like butting heads with the nation and the ranchers. Now the stress levels are at a heightened state.
Yeah.
So I feel like they also have to worry about that coming into play.
At the same time, they're all together in this dire situation. Once again, another dire situation where they need to come survive. Together. So. Yeah.
So you think that they're going to come together?
I do.
Okay.
We have some shout-outs.
Yes, let's do shout-outs.
Especially because from Kattegat H, I'm really bad at names, guys. I'm sorry. She says, I think when Ophelia sees her father, she may turn down Taka for any dangerous missions. I believe that that is the last thing she wants to do, disappoint her father. So I agree. I think that's a great prediction.
I agree as well.
Mm-hmm. We have Jay Snowden, who says, hey guys, I love this panel. I'm totally leaning more towards Fear than The Walking Dead, which I never thought would happen. I like your insights and predictions and think they're very smart. I'm really into the powerful female characters on the show. Us too. Well, I am. I'm speaking for both of us right now, but I am as well. I'm so about it. I like how, compared to The Walking Dead, how this show deals with society breaking down and how they're trying to rebuild. And they asked, do we think we'll ever have a crossover with the original show?
I'm hoping that would be the case. I'm hoping by the end of this season, I don't exactly know how mm-hmm. in what, because they're literally on opposite coasts, literally opposite, like they're on the northeast, they're on the southwest. So it's like, I don't exactly know how that would happen this season, but I do need, if it's going to happen, I do need for the writers to make that crossover at some point, sooner rather than later.
We also need to thank our wonderful sponsors for the show that allow us to come in every week and talk about The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And this week, it is The Good Doctor. A new medical drama is coming to ABC on Monday nights this fall called The Good Doctor. It's a story of a young man with autism and savant syndrome named Sean Murphy who becomes a surgical resident at a prestigious hospital. This young doctor exhibits genius-level skills and is capable of seeing things in ways that no one else can. I'm kind of thinking it's a lot like House.
I agree, but
hopefully,
younger.
Younger, and hopefully with a lot less bad, incorrect You know how House was always medical wrong.
Yes.
Until the last one, when he was right. Anyway, alone in the world and unable to personally connect with those around him, Sean uses his remarkable medical gifts to save lives and challenge the skepticism of his colleagues. The character's unique medical condition adds a new dimension to the genre. I'm excited, actually.
I'm excited about
really
this, too.
Sounds really good the more I'm reading it.
Yeah.
It's coming from the producing team of David Shore, the man behind the hit drama House.
House, there you go.
As well as Daniel Dae Kim, who previously starred on Lost.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. Which, so two great shows.
Yes.
The series stars Freddie Highmore from Bates Motel as Dr. Sean Murphy, Richard Schiff from The West Wing, and Hill Harper from CSI and Homeland round out a diverse and exceptional cast. It's one of the most anticipated series of the new fall season, and it's on ABC on Monday nights, you guys.
Yes, it is definitely on my DVR for Monday nights, because I love a Freddie Highmore, because I remember him in August Rush as a little boy.
Right?
And I've followed his career, and I'm so glad, and I'm excited to see him doing the show, because A, I love medical dramas, because I loved House, yeah. Love Grey's Anatomy,
right?
So I'm excited to see this new twist on The Good Doctor.
Me too. I don't have DVR, I don't have that, but I do have Hulu.
So you do have Hulu.
Watch so it
you
on Tuesday.
There you go. Back to The Walking Dead Weekly and Fear the Walking Dead. Thank you for those kind words from our sponsors.
Yeah.
Do you have any last minute predictions?
I don't, but if you guys do, definitely leave us comments in our videos and we will read them.
Yes, and thank you guys for tuning in and tweeting us. We do read your tweets. We try to respond to them as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
We do love them. We're gonna try to get out some new polls on Twitter, so stay tuned for those. We're gonna try out those guys, and we would love to hear your feedback on those, your thoughts, so we can shout you guys out like we did tonight. Thank you guys for tuning in. This was Fear the Walking Dead season 3 episode 12. Natalie, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Natalie Dyer, that's NataleeDyer on all social media platforms.
And I am Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike. Thank you guys once again for tuning in for Fear the Walking Dead / The Walking Dead Weekly, and we will see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.